You are listening to Carousel Radio.
Carousel Radio.
You're listening to Carousel Radio.
Broadcasting a creative voice of people with a learning disability.
Carousel Radio.
Carousel Radio!
Hello and welcome back to Carousel Radio. You're here with me, the Crustacean King. Joining me is my right claw merman, Joel.
What's up?
And the Guardian of the Coast, Fran.
Heya, what's up?
And in this show, we'll be asking you, if you were the most powerful person in the country, what would you do to make our lives better in When I'm Prime Minister?
We'll be hearing more radio diaries in Sounds Like My Life, where neurodiverse people talk about the challenges and triumphs of their daily lives.
We've got a new song from Carousel Chorus, yay! And we'll begin by heading down to the beach for some stories inspired by the sea. With you, Meander. See!
Welcome along to Carousel Radio.
Carousel Radio.
You are listening to Carousel Radio.
Carousel Radio.
Radio. You're listening to Gibbering Lord Hat.
The sea, the beach and coastline hold a special place in the human imagination. It is where we go for adventure, to sail away, to chill out, to explore, to play, to catch fish, to eat, to drink, for stone skimming, to think, to daydream. We wandered down to Brighton seafront to hear what was going on.
Treasure hunt. The sun shines as it warms my soul as I go for a walk on the beach. I stop and listen to waves crashing on the shore, a sound I've heard many times before. I continue my walk for treasure under the sand, for shells and sea glass I have found. Shells as white as snow, glass as blue as my eyes, and the sun guides me on my onward journey.
You, Me and the Sea by Oscar. It's a summer's hot day in August. Me and my family are planning to the beach at Littlehampton. We also took my best friend Scott too. Today it's 25 degrees heat and there's not much of a cloud in sight, so today's the day to do it. So plenty of the sunscreen to keep protected from the sun. My mum said it would take about an hour journey, so we packed our bags and got into the car and went ahead. Raced ahead to the beach, we finally arrived. It took a bit longer than an hour only, 50 minutes extra, just because it's summer holidays. Around getting in the car park was chock-a-block. We went to the West Beach as it is where we've always been since I was a kid. It is less commercial and more natural and less people. But that wasn't the case then. It was pretty packed. The more further we walked, it got less people. We found an open space, so we settled down and got our blankets out and bags down as soon as we got there. As it was so warm with the beaming sun bellowing down on us, I wanted to go in the sea straight away. So me and Scott got our trunks on and sped down, jumped and went like crazy into the waves with a warm and felt already red arms that felt sore. So got our whole body in. Scott then suggested we should go hunting for any sea life creatures like crabs or shells. It wasn't much honesty, just seaweed, which lasted for the next 5 minutes. We kept in line with our camp and my family, with a long whisk of sand that went for miles. We went a bit further afield and found a rope that was pulled into the sand. We picked it up and it was very damp, quite cold actually, despite it was incredibly warm. So each time we turned it up, we noticed clouds were swarming over the sun. It seems it's connected. Still the beach is packed, it was still hot, so with curiosity as young people are, we pulled the rope that was almost out that made the skies even more darker. It came to the rope, that it had these soft round stones attached to it, which all the crowds on the beach could see what we were up to. And that's because the rope ended. If you could picture incredibly tall. Now the sun is gone, I feel rainfall of showers. Now the rope is up, the sand broke out. It's crashing everywhere. The clouds have gone black, the rain is beating down with thunderclaps. A humongous eye is beaming through and we see a tail reaching down that looked half a mile down. We all ran down in terror. All of our family already packed their bags, chasing down to the car park to lots of chasing cars, manically leaving. We got to the car before the creature woke up and didn't chase us down. We drove away from the coast. It is such a shame we didn't spend more sunny time there. Once we got to the main road, we saw a dozen of police cars, including riot vans. So I expect we will be in the paper soon.
I once saw a creature from the sea. It had a tooth that was almost 2 meters in length. Sharp, like a spear or harpoon. Like a reverse whaler. Its skin, grey. In the air, it would be very easy to see. But in the deep, practically invisible.
So this creature lives under the sand. Can grow to the length of a human being, and it's a hunter. So it waits until a shadow rides over it, and then it grabs its food, pulls it under, and never to be seen again. This animal is immune to toxins. This animal has no brain, but it has a massive sharp tooth that can come out, clutch on, and you'll never see it again.
This creature is blue. Texture is very hard. It's as big as a plane. And it smells awful, like washing powder.
Okay, so the creature I was describing was a bobbit one.
I was describing a narwhal. And yes, it is a real creature. Look it up.
I was describing a creature I made up.
Ignite my desire.
We will return to the sea in the next episode.
Thanks to Susanna and Oscar for taking part in You and Me in the Sea. We finished that section with a new song by the Carousel Chorus. The song was called Elements and is available on their new EP Freedom. You can support Carousel and buy a download of the EP by visiting fairground.bandcamp.com. I'm part of Carousel Chorus and this is our second EP we have done. We went into the studio in March and we recorded these 5 songs. So on the album, we have got Hearts and Flowers, Churchyard, Apple Orchard, which I really love, Freedom and Elements. We have done a few gigs. We've performed at the Level for the Take Part Festival. And we've performed at the One Festival in Stanmer Park. You can see Carousel Chorus at a Glow Summer Sharing event. We will be performing with the choir and it's a fundraising event for Rainbow Railroad. We have 50% of profits from the event helping LGBTQIA+ people get out of danger and into safety. It's Saturday the 22nd of July between 5:30 and 7:30 and it's at St. Luke's Church, Old Shoreham Road, and it is £10 to get in and you need to book tickets. So come along, please.
Sea facts.
So as you guys know, the ocean is big.
I've heard.
Really, really big.
Your domain is massive, Crustacean King.
To the point that we know more about the surface of Mars than we do the ocean.
We know more about our galaxy in general than we know about the ocean and the bottom of the sea especially. It is such an alien location.
To point that out, the galaxy is really, really big.
It's 280 zeros meters diameter is the observable universe, if memory serves.
Give context, our moon is actually not as wide as our ocean. So our moon is smaller than the ocean, and that thing is huge in the sky. So you know how big our ocean is. Now compare that to the galaxy, and we know more about the galaxy than the ocean.
Wow, that's amazing fact.
Crazy, isn't it?
Next up, we ask Carousel Radio artist Charlie Hatton for his thoughts on what he would do to make our lives better when I'm Prime Minister.
Are you planning to vote for the Tories? Lib Dems? Labour? BNP? Boring. Vote for me, gibbering Lord Hat. Vote for me and I will make all the vital changes to the UK and Northern Ireland guaranteed. If you're employed, wear yellow Admiral's hats. If you're not, free hats are provided with free custard-scented air fresheners. Vote for me and I will solve the housing crisis by building multi-storey jam jars, big enough for 1,000+. Vote for me and I'll change the national anthem to My Little Stick of Blackpool Rock by George Formby. All MPs should be on wages of £10 a day and also paint their faces like their party logos like football fans. If you vote, I will promise to scrap all tuition fees and invest in a year's supply of toffee apples and also introduce cars that run on infused maple syrup to curb the environmental crisis. I hope I can rely on your vote, gibbering Lord Hat.
You have just heard from Charlie Hatton in a candidate broadcast for the future Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Well, I wanted to ask you guys, what would you consider a silly punishment for a non-serious crime?
I think the most obvious, like, non-serious crime is littering.
Yeah.
Parking in 2 parking spaces. Don't get me wrong, when that happens, we hate that person, and we will swear to the gods above and the gods below that we will have our revenge, but by law, it's not a serious crime.
I would basically put them in a walking band suit and then force them to go down every single street they can manage with just a 5 people carrying banners behind him and going, boo!
If you don't mind me using a real life one, I love this. Okay, it depends on how, if you consider serious or not. I would say it's mostly unserious. There's a country in the world, I can't remember where it is, where if you park in a disabled place, they bust out a load of post-it notes and stick a symbol, the disabled symbol, on the entire side of your car and all over the car to make sure everyone knows that you are in a disabled parking space. And of course, you have to drive home with that, with people just going, ha! Idiot. One of the weirder, like, non-serious crimes, in my opinion, is, like, pirate radio. One of the ways to get into, like, legitimate radio is to be on pirate radio. It's a weird way to cut your teeth. What's
there's
up,
a,
Jason?
There's a weird law in the UK that states you cannot hold a salmon in a suspicious way.
I heard that! I want to start with what a normal way is. And then I'll figure out what a suspicious way is.
I would assume, like, I don't know, in a bag, wrapped up in some cardboard with two hands, or just tucked under your arm, would be the standard three ways of carrying a salmon.
Would holding it like a rifle be suspicious? Like, hang on, that guy has a salmon gun. He will shoot bones at us.
You are listening to Carousel.
Now it's time to hear from some real people in the real world in Sounds Like My Life. We ask people across the world to share the challenges and triumphs of their daily lives. In this episode, we'll be hearing from Susanna and Sam. First up, let's hear from Susanna in Brighton.
Hello everyone, my name is Susanna, I live in East Sussex and I'm a poet. Normally my poetry is about nature and my disability is called Williams Syndrome. I work at a community allotment 2 to 3 days a week. So I've been at the allotment for about 10 years. I first started when I moved in to my local area. It's a community allotment, basically, where other members join and we all share the produce and we all have picnics once a month and we all love it so much. So I saw an advertisement online for an actress. I know that many people will have applied for that job, so I thought I didn't have a chance in hell. So for me to find out that I did get the job was very, very exciting because I never thought that I could be capable of being an actress or doing something as big as, you know, being filmed. Having never been filmed before on my own is quite intimidating. So for me to say, actually, we want you is really validating for me because I really suffer with self-validation. So I need a lot of validation from others. So for me, this is a game changer. It's a learning disabled charity that offered me the job. So it's very exciting. It's meant to be a comedy about carers coming up with lame excuses to having to leave early because they want to promote staying up late. So when you're told that you have to leave early because your carer has to leave early, I think it's very frustrating to be in that position. And I think that the charity wanted to promote awareness of it and to say, actually, no, that's not okay.
Let's leave Susanna on her allotment and visit Sam to hear about his visit to Comic-Con.
I had gone to Comic-Con in 2019, but found it was really busy and that really overwhelmed me. But I was still always tempted to go again, have it be more like I imagined it would be, with getting to meet loads of people with similar interests who were into things like cosplay. I also didn't realise that Comic-Con was more like a shopping trip than it was about lots of people in cosplay taking photographs and videos, which is what I'd seen a bit on Instagram and other social media before I went in 2019. Even though I was finding it difficult to find friends who were up for going with me, I thought that actually this year I could actually go by myself because of it being more like a shopping trip, because I would go shopping by myself. I had only decided to definitely go and booked a ticket a week before, so I didn't really have time to get the type of costume together I wanted. I wanted to be dressed as Thor with his body armor, but I saw that wouldn't really be possible with things I would have to order online and if they would arrive in time. I saw there was a more casual outfit that Thor wore in the fourth Thor film, Love and Thunder. Putting together an outfit like that from things I had was doable. And I managed to get a jacket from the charity shop that looked similar enough that I could cut the sleeves off. I'll be putting together my own outfit, which is what I've seen a lot of people doing cosplay do. So I was glad to do that, and it seemed a lot more fun. I was glad that Comic-Con was actually a lot less busy than I remembered it being. Maybe this was because I'd been before and knew what to expect this time. Even though I had planned to look around at the stalls and not feel sad if I didn't get to talk to anyone, I still felt really sad that I couldn't talk to anyone. There were people I would have enjoyed hanging out with. Even the people not in cosplay were often wearing t-shirts of bands that I liked. And there were lots of women I'd really like to have dated, women people tell you only exist on Instagram. I felt like an outcast, even at somewhere like Comic-Con, which seemed to be designed for people who were outcasts, geeky people who would have got bullied. But I seemed to stand out and feel like too much of an outcast for the people there. I realized how much better it would have been if I was there with a friend. I saw people were there with friends and family, and I realized just how that could have been nice, but just being there by myself was just depressing. If I do manage to go again, I want it to be with friends.
Leaving Comic-Con, let's return to Susanna in Brighton.
I'm feeling very scared because I don't know what to expect. I haven't been given my script yet. I don't know how many other people will be there, so for me that's quite scary indeed. I really hope that the day goes smoothly, that I'll be taken well good care of, that I'll be able to deliver what the director wants and what the charity wants. And I hope that I do the charity justice of their campaign, and equally for me to be able to say, actually, I've actually done this. And that's a big achievement, because I never thought that I would get offered paid work again. I have been offered paid work before, but not in this style. I've never really done acting before. This is a new chapter for me. I've done singing and stuff, but I've never actually acted on stage. Only once. But for me, that's a whole different ball game, and I don't know who's going to see this. So for me, it's might be paid offered on stage, or you know, paid offered on TV. Who knows? So it's quite exciting.
Thanks to Susanna and Sam for their radio diaries.
Comic-Con!
Anyone who knows me in real life will know that I'm a massive, massive, massive nerd. So I hope you will gather your jaws off the floor when I say that yes, I've indeed gone to a Comic-Con or two. I've bought several things, including a Japanese sword called a katana, which I still have at home and may or may not practice weekly. I'm of course joking. I practice daily. The other thing I remember very clearly was when I was there. It was shortly after I'd discovered I was pansexual, which for those who don't know means I'm attracted to just anything and everything. If you've got a pulse, I might be into you. And for how long it's been since I've been in a relationship, to be perfectly honest, pulse optional. But I remembered when I still had a girlfriend at the time, there was a point where there was a guy walking around who was both very muscular and very shirtless with a sign saying free hugs. So after I got the hug, I went to my girlfriend and just said to her, by the way, dibs. And she then looked back at me and said, hey, I saw him first.
I had the most boring costume when I went to Comic-Con. I wore a suit. And people keep asking me, what character are you? And I just turned around and said to them, I'm the guy in the background. So you're Iron Man. You've been in what? 1, 2, 3, 7 movies? Great! I've been in every single one of them.
Anything contemporary, I've been there. Yeah. I am your bank tellers. I am your office workers. I am your accountants.
Yeah.
I am your janitors on a date. Yeah. I am everywhere.
Every single movie has somewhere or another one guy in a suit somewhere. And yeah, I just went out to go.
I've never been to Comic-Con.
The big thing you're really missing, to be honest, Fran, is just the vibe of just all these people just so happy to be here. even if you can't like buy anything, it's just nice to be there.
Oh, thank you guys for having me back. Comic Con.
Carousel Radio.
The Rock House is back this July, featuring a talented lineup of acts including Transient Visitors, Beat Express, GD Reflection, and Dirt Royal. It's on the 17th of July from 7 to 9:30, and it's at the Green Door store, which is by Brighter Station just under the arches. And it's £4.50 to get in. Carers, you are free. At the last Rock House, we had performances by the Revs, Coasters, Fuzzbone Flash Band. Here's a clip of the Revs performing.
Of the show.
Thank you for listening to Carousel Radio.
And now, by order of the Ocean Lord himself, it is the end of the show. Special thanks to Oscar from Team Dominica.
Thanks to Susanna. Thanks also to Charles Hatton and to Sam Castlewood.
We'd also like to give a thanks to the Carousel Chorus, so yeah, thank you, Fran. And we'd also like to thank the Carousel House Band for the theme tune. We'd also like to give a special thanks, of course, to myself.
Thank you, Joel.
Thank you, Fran. We'd also like to thank, of course, the almighty Crustacean King, who takes on the human name Jason, because his real name is... which most humans can't pronounce.
Thank you. Okay. We'll be back in August with a brand new podcast. So, for the final message, I will leave you with this. The ocean is mine, get out of it.
The ocean is mine, get out of it.
This podcast is brought to you by Carousel, helping people with learning disabilities to reach their potential in the arts.